Talking about showbiz. Now, P.T. Barnum's legacy lives on as the greatest American showman. Everyone will have heard of P.T. Barnum. And obviously, The Greatest Showman, the movie that was based on his life. And now, researcher, writer, and retired academic Dr. Steve Ward has written a book about his fascinating life and career. Now, I had a chat with Steve this morning, and wow, what a career.
Taking the title of his the latest Hollywood blockbuster a few years ago, he was the greatest showman. He was a showman, and this is what it makes him so fascinating. He was a very complex character, driven by a need for approbation, and very often driven by the love of money as well. I mean, a lot of what he did was largely to make money, and he didn't get into the circus world until way into his 60s, when he retired from being a showman, that is, having his own museums and exhibiting the weird and the wonderful that people flock to see.
What was the before Barnum? Was he the defining line of what we know as circus and variety now in the circus big top?
Well, I think you have to separate Barnum from showmanship and circus. Prior to Barnum being around, there were people who exhibited the exotic, that is, the weird and the wonderful, the people who were different in many, many different ways. But it was Barnum who brought that to the fore early in his career and made most of his life from running museums as a showman. This is said, the circus, Barnum Bailey Ringling Circus, didn't happen until he was well into his 60s, when he got involved in the circus. But before that, it was all about exhibitions, traveling exhibitions, permanent exhibitions in the Barnum's American Museum. That's according, you know, with my book, he brought General Tom Thumb, the dwarf child entertainer, to England in 1844 for a three-year tour of Britain and continental Europe. And that was what made his name. That was what defined him as an international figure, and also made him a lot of money. also for General Tom Thumb, Charles Stratton, the child himself. But he was an unknown in England when he came, and for Barnum, England was an unknown country. And you have to remember, in 1844, it was only within living memory that Britain and America were at war in 1812. In fact, British forces sacked the White House and looted it, and basically burnt it before retreating. So this was in living memory. He didn't know how the British people would respond to these damned colonials, as he once put it. And that is why he slipped ashore one cold February morning in Liverpool without any sort of hullabaloo.
How did he put his curios together? Did people come to him, or did he tour around and look for the most curious and the most bizarre around?
Yeah, I mean, that was it. He did. I mean, he was always on the lookout. And even when he was touring in Britain and Europe, he was continually on the lookout for exhibition material. So he would buy up all sorts of strange things, strange scientific equipment, newfangled ideas, and he would ship them back to America. Or he would come across people who were different, either extremely tall or extremely small, or conjoined twins. And he would engage them for a certain figure, and he would pay their passage to America, where they would be met by his agents in America, and they would be engaged for a period of time at a salary, given board and lodging as well. So he was continually on the lookout. I mean, his breakthrough before he came to England, which really started him off in the exhibition world, was he acquired an aged black woman called Joyce Heth, who he promoted as the 161-year-old nursemaid to George Washington. And he put her on exhibition, and people flocked to see this woman. And later, when she died, he actually sold tickets for her public post-mortem. And it was proven by scientists that, in fact, she was probably no more than 80 years old when she died. He then went on to acquire what he called the Fiji Mermaid, and he did a big promotional thing. He was big on publicity, and he did a big promotional thing about mermaids, and there were all these voluptuous pictures of these voluptuous women, and he had one on show at his museum, and people flocked to see this wonder. And in fact, it was a dried up, shriveled hoax. It was, I think it was the head of a monkey that had been stitched onto the body of a fish. And it was about 3 foot and extremely ugly. But people didn't seem to mind. They didn't seem to worry that they'd been duped in any way. They paid their entry fee and saw this wonderful miraculous thing and went away full of discussion.
It's as if things have never changed. You know, social media today is doing exactly the same thing in the digital age, doing exactly what Barnum was doing.
That's very true.
Over 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, is that we get suckered all the time into believing something that isn't true. And even when he brought Charles Stratton to England, General Tom Thumb, he billed him as a 12-year-old. In fact, that was far from the truth. This was a child of 5 years old, going on six, who was being portrayed as a 12-year-old, who Barnum had schooled in singing, dancing, and recitation, and was to present himself as a young gentleman. And he was doing three shows a day. I mean, when he came to Newcastle, he was appearing three times a day in 2 hour slots. And this is a five, six-year-old child. And there are some ethical questions about this, because one of the things that General Tom Thumb would call him, one of the things he did was they also sold pamphlets about his life. And if people had bought them, especially women, he would give them what he called, in inverted commas, a stamped receipt of a kiss on the lips. And accordingly, and according to him, you know, he kissed thousands of women. And this is not just a peck on the cheek. This is a full-blown smackaroo on the lips. And women queued to actually be kissed or to kiss this
child.
Person, child. Yeah, and it raises all sorts of dubious questions.
But it shows what Barnum was. He was a very clever master of getting people to suspend belief.
Yes.
And that is... That's a very rare trait. How was he received in Great Britain? You know, was it a success straight away?
Well, as I say, he slipped into Liverpool and experimented by exhibiting General Tom Thumb in Liverpool for a few days. And it was mixed receipt, because at that time in Britain, people, you know, dwarves and giants and people who had excessive hair and all sorts of things like that, were the mainstay of fairgrounds. So people were used to seeing these people paid a penny and go into a tent and gawp at these people. Barnum was elevating it to be in a theatre or a musical. So people paid a little bit extra. They paid a shilling a time, regardless of age. And they went to see this creature, and it was mixed reviews. But he knew that he had to go to London, because he knew that that was where the money would be.
Unbelievable. And there's a second part of the conversation I had with Dr. Ward, and it's about his visit to the Northeast, which I had never heard of. And he visited loads and loads of places. You hear that in part two. And also, he got to play for royalty as well. It's all coming up on your BBC Radio Tees.
BBC Radio Tees Vault.
After a frustrating draw... Anyway, I'll let him give you the bad news in about the next 10, 15 minutes. Now, if you missed part one of a really fascinating conversation I had with a wonderful gentleman, he's a researcher, a writer, retired academic. He's called Dr. Steve Ward. And it was about his new book. It's about P.T. Barnum, the real life greatest showman. Now, it's totally fascinating. He speaks at length about his tour with General Tom Thumb. Now, General Tom Thumb was an American child performer that Barnum had trained to sing, to dance, and also to imitate famous people. I'm not scared to be seen.
I make no apologies. This is me. Within a week, he'd taken General Tom Thumb and his parents to London. There was nobody else with them. There was no entourage of performers. It was just General Tom Thumb, his parents, and a tutor. And off they went to London, and he exhibited the general at the Egyptian Hall, which is a suite of exhibition rooms on the Strand. But he also had the nous, and it comes back to publicity again, that at their private residence on Grafton Street, he had open house for two or three times a day, and he invited all the newspaper editors and all the wealthy individuals and the influential people in the aristocracy, and along they came and marvelled at this little man who sang and danced and impersonated Napoleon and did what they call pose plastique, where he did sort of tableaus of classical figures. And people thought he was wonderful. You know, he was 25 inches tall, 15 pounds in weight, and apparently perfectly formed. And Barnum soon became involved in that sort of high level of society and managed by hook or by crook, this is really what he wanted, to get an audience with Queen Victoria at Buckingham Palace.
Wow.
And he was actually invited three times to Buckingham Palace. This was unheard of. And Queen Victoria marvelled at him. She was obviously taken by it because she invited him back. And gifts were showered on Barnum. You know, there were pouches of money passed to him and expensive jewellery and gifts were showered on him and the general. And these became part of the exhibition. You know, but Barnum was not going to miss a trick. And once he'd been accepted by royalty, oh, well, the door was wide open. You know, this was the seal of approval. So when he set off on his tour of Britain, he spent about 4 or 5 months in London and then toured the provinces right up to Scotland and across to Northern Ireland, returning to London in the December of 1844. Hundreds of thousands of people had been to see him, and they'd made a significant amount of money. I mean, in London alone, it was reported the Barnum had made £15,000.
Wow.
Just in London. I mean, that was in money those days. You know, translate that today, you're talking hundreds of thousands. And then in 1845, he took General Tom Thumb to France, across to Europe, and they were received by the King of Belgium, first of all, and then twice by the King and Queen of France. They toured right down through France during the year, went right down to Pamplona in Spain, where they met the Spanish royal court, obviously turning over more money, came back in December 1845, and then spent the following year retouring London and the provinces again.
Is it common knowledge that Barnum actually came to the North East, that he played Durham and Newcastle?
Probably not. I mean, it's known that he came to... Well, I wouldn't say, even say it was common knowledge he came to England. I think the film, the musical film, The Greatest Showman, there was a bit about him coming to England, and that bit was true. The rest of it was false. You know, he didn't come with an entourage of people. But I don't think it's probably that well known that certainly in the Northeast area, people would not know. I mean, I don't know how many people in the Northeast know where the music hall is in Newcastle, on Nelson Street, which is in the centre of the town. The facade is still there, but has been developed behind. But there he was, and I mean, he came, and in early November, he went to Darlington, he went to North Shields, he went to Durham, he went to Sunderland, and then he spent a few days in Newcastle before moving on up to Edinburgh.
In the movies, because there's been a lot written about Barnum, is that just the veneer? You know, is the book going into the real life of P.T. Barnum?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to dig a bit deeper than the gloss of the Hollywood film, because he was, as I said, he was a very complex person. And, I mean, the very fact that, you know, when he came to England, he just lost a child. You know, one of his children had died. And he never refers to it at all. And he came to England. He spent most of the year away from his wife. And then he went back to America and brought his wife and two other children back. And they stayed with him until partway through his France tour. Later on in life, Barnum came back to Europe by himself on a trawl of looking for exhibits. And while he was in, I think it was Austria, if I remember rightly, his wife, who had been ill for many years, died. He didn't rush back to her funeral. He decided that he would, I'm thinking of going to Italy with some friends. And it was like he was almost in denial. And it was several months before he returned back to America, long after his wife died. And then he remarried within a very short space of time to, he was in his 60s then, and he remarried to a young 20-year-old whose family he had known for quite some years. And it's a very complex life and a very strange life. And, you know, they secretly got married in London. And then he went back to America by himself and then brought his bride back and introduced her to his family. It is a very complex and interesting life, and it's what drives a man. And he took risks, he took gambles. I mean, he brought the Swedish singer Jenny Lind to America unseen, unheard. He only knew of her by reputation. He hadn't met her before. And he decided, oh, he'd bring her to America and promote her tour on the hope that it would be a success. And it was. It was a huge success. And he made a lot of money from it. And he also lost a lot of money in his life as well. There were times in his life when, you know, he made all this money and then got involved in a bad deal, lost it all, and had to rebuild again.
Wow. When's the book out? Come on, give it the big sell for the book if you don't. I'm suckered in, Steve, seriously.
Yeah, I've got the date down as the 30th of January. It might be just before that. It might be just after that. It's been published in America first. That's the date I've been given. It should be available online or from any good bookshop or direct from the publishers. And, you know, the much publicity I can get, the better. Doing a bit of Barnum myself.
Yeah. You certainly are. And I'll go on tour with you if you want. The oldest looking child in the world. thank you very much. Look after yourself.
Thanks so much.